as we remain standing. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible readings on your sheet, maybe just get them out. I just want to point out a couple of things. Anyhow, in Genesis. So the word character in Greek is exactly the same as in English. And originally, it was the name given to a sculptor's tool, the chisel that was used in the development of a Greek statue. Now, gradually, the meaning broadened to include not only the tool used, but the tooling process, the formation or shaping of sculptures. And you get, what do you get? A rough piece of marble, right? And you got to take the bits off. So there is this sense of a person's character, the mental and moral qualities chiseled and formed in and on a person, not unlike the process of creating a statue. Character is something that comes from within, and it takes time to develop fully. And it can sometimes be difficult to discern between character and personality. Personality refers to the range of personal qualities and traits. Okay, I'm an extrovert. My sense of humor is iffy, but I think I have a sense of humor. So there's certain traits, all right? Now, character is the set of morals and beliefs that define how we treat or behave towards others and towards ourselves. And it can take months and years sometimes to see someone's character. The best way to observe someone's character is to try and objectively observe how a person behaves or opposed to who they say they are. All right, does that make sense? If we can't see the person in the mirror, who's the person in the mirror? Ourselves. Who we fully are, we will likely be misguided. In the life of a Christian, our understanding and relationship with God is dependent upon the condition of our character, not on our personality. The true expression of Christian character is not in good doing. It is in Christ likeness. And that's why it's hard to be a Christian. Christ's life in us expresses itself as God life, not as a human being trying to be good. There is a saying, character can be measured by who we are in the dark when no one is looking. Who's ever heard that? I've heard that. So the past few weeks have been a character study of Jacob, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you did morning prayer last week, so you probably didn't hear the Genesis reading. So you okay if I go through it, because there's a connection between that and Joseph, okay? So last week, finally after 20 years, Jacob is going home. He's going home to make amends with his brother Esau. And we know who Esau is, the brother Jacob, along with his mother, deprived him of his birthright. And he's standing alone at the edge of the river Jabbok, having sent his family, wives, and livestock ahead to the other side. And Jacob can see his home, the promised land, the land God had promised to his grandfather, Abraham and his descendants. Mm-mm. But before he can cross over and before he faced his brother Esau, he had to face himself. So filled with fear, unsure of how his brother will react, Jacob is forced to look in the mirror and see himself as he really is, a deceiver. Remember, that's what his name means. in the most incredible face-to-face in Scripture, God and Jacob, they have it out. In the struggle, Jacob grabs hold of God. In the text, it says a man, and refuses to let go, asking God to bless him, to change his character, to make him a person God could use. God just wants to use us. He's not changing his character for our delight. He's changing our character so that he can use us, so we can go out into the world. Remember, church means sent forth, and be God's presence there. In the struggle, all right, he grabs. Anyhow, God does bless him, and we know this story, but Jacob walks away with a limp, a reminder of the crippling decision he had made. And when he insisted on doing things in his own strength and in his own power, it was a distinctive mark or stamp. but he also walked away with a blessing and a new name. What was his new name? Israel, right. Jacob the deceiver became Israel, the one who struggled with God and men and had overcome. In spite of his many character flaws that sadly would persist for many more years, Jacob at this point in time did put God first. And that is a mark of his greatness. But as we discover today, this would not last, and it would lead to tragedy, division, and heartache. The dysfunctional family in crisis will experience betrayal, lies, deceit, envy, tattletaling, and finally murder. The New Testament tells us, the Old Testament, Hebrew Scriptures, accounts like Jacob and Joseph were recorded for our instructions. I like this in Romans 15:4. For whatever is written in earlier times was written for our instruction, and through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Thank you, Paul. So today, we're going to take a look at Joseph's life and character. Joseph, first son of Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife. Jacob had a thing about favorites. Anybody notice that? One of the character flaws still evident in Jacob's character was his tendency to show favoritism. Rachel was his favorite wife, and Joseph became what? His favorite son, yeah. And Joseph knew that, and so did the other siblings. And what does Scripture say? They didn't like him very much. In fact, they say they hated him. Jacob doted on him, and he lightly got everything he wanted. Now, apparently he was his favorite because he was born in his old age. And what does he do? He makes him a what? A robe, a beautiful robe. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. That's terrible. What was Jacob thinking? Had he learned nothing from his experience as a child when, being his mother's favorite, he had cheated Esau, deceived his father, and tragedy followed? Jacob gives Joseph his beautiful robe. Here's the thing about the robe. The robe was not intended for a working person, but was more appropriate to someone who would not be looking after those sheep anytime soon. It was an obvious display of affection from their father, and it held the seeds of Joseph's downfall. And Scripture doesn't sugarcoat the brothers' reaction. They hated Joseph and could not speak a kind word to him. And it's difficult not to have sympathy for them. For years, they had had to put up with a father who made no excuse that he liked one of them more than the other. And we've seen it in families. I have my older sister who was convinced that one of my sisters was the favorite. Wasn't true. But for many years, and she's in her 70s, that's what she thought. And here was Jacob, compounding his unfairness by treating Joseph as a pampered prince at the very time he was approaching manhood, and it was time for him to learn to work in the clan. We're talking clans here. And to make matters worse, when Joseph goes out into the pastures, he's spying on his brothers. Remember, Jacob says, "Oh, and go and get them and tell me what they're doing." Wink, wink. and whispering who knows what things about them to an already biased ear when he got home. The nastiest of human emotions are festering, ready with deadly effect to break out of the first opportunity. Gossiping or tale-bearing, favoritism and envy. And tattletaling is Joseph's favorite, and favoritism is Jacob's, and envy for the brothers. Joseph, not yet the man of patience, humility, and tact that he later becomes, but a foolish boy who carries tales back to his father, causing great distress. Now, scripture is usually very kind to Joseph, but here in the beginning, his character is not idealized. He is shown as a rather naive and offending young man who still has a lot to learn. In spite of all these character flaws, God reveals to Jacob some of his future through dreams. First dream is about the sheaves in the field. The brothers bound the sheaves and stood them up on the field. And then Joseph's sheaves rose up and the other son's sheaves all bowed down to his. And he couldn't wait to tell them. And when he did, his brothers were shocked. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more. It's terrible. And then he has another dream. "Listen, I had another dream. And this one, the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing down towards me." Now, by the way, he told this to his father, who said, his father did rebuke him and said, "What is this dream you had?" It wasn't only about his brothers bowing down to him. It was about himself and his mother having to bow down to him. Now, people in ancient times were much more affected by dreams than we are today, than we are in this scientific age. They could not be sure that dreams were not communication from the unseen world, insights into the future filled with danger or hope, both of which could come true. It was this fear and anxiety as much as jealousy and envy that made the people seize, that made the brothers seize the opportunity where it presented itself to get rid of Jacob. Now, I think it's interesting in scripture, if you look at this, that Reuben said, no. "Hey, listen, this is what we'll do. We'll just put him in the pit. We'll just put him in the pit, but so I can get him out later." Interesting character, right? And then Reuben says, no, we won't shed any blood. We'll just sell him as a slave. So those are two interesting characters there. So knowing they could be tampering with fate, right, and opposing divine will, they were prepared to take the risk to rid themselves of a brother they detested. Hate and fear combined will always result in irrational behavior. Hello? Are we seeing this today? And this family was full of it. They had come to a parting of the ways with any sense of morality, and the only solution, it would seem, was murder. And when Joseph came out to the wilderness, they stripped him of the hated garment, threw him into a pit, and after some discussion, sold him to passionate Ishmaelite traders for 20 pieces of silver. How many were Jesus sold for? They got another 10 for Jesus. They only got 20 for Joseph. I see you, Adam. I know. Joseph would be taken to Egypt and sold as a slave, and there would be unimaginable pain both from the separation from dad and home, but also the cruel abandonment by his own brothers. Joseph is a long way from home and very much in spiritual darkness. He is sold to an Egyptian official named Potiphar, and the next 13 years will turn out to be the trying and difficult years of Joseph's life. And I was wondering how many times did he say, "Why is this happening to me? I thought you had special plans for me. I thought I was going to be a success. I may not have observed the Brother of the Year award, but this?" The Joseph story reminds us that life does not always go the way we think it should. It's a very famous John Lennon statement. Life is what happens when you're making other plans. Anyhow. God, here's the principle. God cannot work great things through us until he works deeply in us. That makes sense? Can't work through us until he works deeply in us. God needed a leader, but he always wants leaders with character, and Joseph became one of the greatest. And God was with Joseph during every awful moment. He not only made him prosper in spite of his horrendous circumstances, he whispered in his ear, "You're mine. I have called you by name. You follow me, you trust me, you walk with me, and you are faithful." And Joseph grew through his struggles to believe God and to trust in God. God developed his character to this man who would stand the test of time, the test of temptation, the test of years waiting, and every other test God would throw his way. God was with him. So many times when bad things happen to us, we want to throw in the towel and run. Anybody ever had that experience? I am out of here. But the believer in Jesus Christ says, "I don't know why God allows bad things to happen, but I believe with all my heart that God is good. And I believe with all my heart that God has good reasons why he does what God does and why God allows what God allows. I may not find out in this life, but I have made a decision to put all my hope and my trust in the Lord." And that's what Joseph did. He could have spent years being mad at his brothers. He could have held a grudge against them. He could have been bitter instead of better. He had that choice. He could have become bitter, but he decided to become better and let God do a deep work in him so that God could do a great work through him. Finally, a long way from home and with a forgiving heart, he was finally able to say to his brothers, this is a very beautiful piece of scripture, Genesis 50:20. "You meant this for evil." I love this one. "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So, do not be afraid." Let us pray. Oh Lord God, most loving, we would not, even if we could, conceal anything from you. But rejoice rather that you know us as we are and see every desire and every motive of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to strip off masks and veils when we come into your presence and to spread before you every thought and every secret of our being, that we may be forgiven, purified, amended, and blessed by you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And that was written by Charles Vaughan, who lived from 1816 to 1897.